Now, this is the beginning of Channel One Right on a new reel, Miss Daisy, on Tuesday morning, the 11th of August, 1970. This is the beginning of Channel One Right on a new reel with Miss Daisy on her morning, Tuesday morning, the 11th of August, 1970. Now, there's not much on this reel. It's just an overflow. It's just a little bit left over from the other side, one full side on the last reel. And this is Channel One Right, the beginning of Channel One Right on a new reel. Miss Daisy on her morning, Tuesday, 11th of August, 1970. It's the beginning of Channel One Right. Miss Daisy on her morning, Tuesday morning, the 11th of August, 1970. Just a little bit on this reel left over from her regular reel on the last tape. Now, this is the beginning of Channel One Right on a new reel, Miss Daisy. Beginning.
Well, James was telling me that that wasn't the first time.
No, it has been.
Well, now, what is it?
Tell Guy what happened to your family, and then we'll go home.
I was talking about you know, my granddaughter had a wreck Sunday evening.
No.
Yes, up there on the road somewhere, the other side of Micanopy. She had carried the children to the beach. So she brought Doris's two children by home and put them out, and she was going home. And she had a wreck up there somewhere. So she's in the hospital, and two of her children in the hospital, and one in the undertaker park. One of them killed right there, then. And there was another boy, some of them's boy up there, she had him too. When she goes, she kills a bunch of them. So he was killed, he died on the arrival at the hospital. So her and her two boys, two of her boys, they's in hospital. One, I think, the baby, I think they said, is something ill his head. And the other boy, I think he's hurt in here something.
Near the chest?
Yeah.
There's a low place right before a bridge, Buddy said, and there's been several people killed, and it was full of water. And she hit it, and it turned the car, and turned it over, hit the edge of the bridge, and turned it over. Then several people killed at that same place because of a defect in the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Alan was just raised in hell up there, and that's what they want him to do. He said.
So that's what they want him to do.
He's in intensive care, and Buddy said that he said if he ever got out of that, he's gonna run away. And she said. Mm-hmm. He said the nurses wanted him to move around, and they'd go in and loose him in the ribs and do things.
That shows that he's feeling pretty good.
He said something on top of his head he wanted to take off right back.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth is all right. She just has a fractured rib or so, and the other Curtis is all right, too. They're going to help her.
Well.
Miss Daisy came up in the face of all of that.
This Nick don't know about Napoleon.
Huh?
What's he doing today?
Who?
Napoleon, the goose.
Mm-hmm. Ain't none of them doing nothing. None of them.
What's don't. Napoleon doing today?
Oh, I ain't hearing him. I think Bessie got him shot up. You know, Bessie got where she don't get up early. She don't get up until about 8:30, sometime after 9 o'clock.
Oh.
So I went over there twice yesterday morning. First time I went over there, I didn't bother. So I kept watching over there twice. I seen him out on the porch. I said, well, I'm going. Oh, yeah, now she didn't know nothing about the wreck and everything. So I went over there. I said, well, I said, I've been over here once. I said, I wouldn't wake you up. I said, but I said I was going to wait a few more minutes And I was coming back, and if you wasn't up, you was going to get up, if you could. She said, yeah, I'm up. I just now got up. I said, I know it. I said, it's all right, two is some, but it's not right, two is a half a day. She said, get up and look out. She said, all right. So James got up this morning. He went over there. I think he had some mail for them. So I hid him over there. Nothing. Rick Garcia, come on. I said, yes, you know.
Well, now, Napoleon can't get out until she gets out.
Uh-uh. None of them can't get up till she get up. Chickens and Napoleon either. And he ain't saying a word. I ain't hearing him today. I told him, I said, he gets mad. I said, he ain't going to talk. I said, one thing, he don't want nobody to know he in jail.
So he hadn't been down at your house?
Hmm? Oh, when he gets out, he coming right back. Every day. He come there every day.
Every day.
Stay around there as long as he can. I told Bess, I say, rather stay over here than stay over there.
He likes that mulberry
tree. Yes, he likes under that tree.
But that's your tree.
Mm-hmm. That's my tree. And everybody fuss about it. Well, it's me and his now. Of course, he needs to stay.
You haven't been washing lately.
No, I ain't been washing. Stay like this, I don't know when I want.
That's right.
Anymore.
Well, now that's the trouble, Miss Daisy.
Hmm?
In the old days now, when people brought you their clothes and all like that, if it set in a spell like this,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't wash.
Couldn't wash. Well, now, some of them had shelters to wash under. They could wash them, but they couldn't hang them out.
Well, what did you do?
Hmm? Well, I had to wait. I never was able to have a shelter. All the shelter I had, sometimes I'd wash on my back porch. I'd rub them out up there. Well, now, they're going to stay there in a tub until it clears up where I can boil them. Maybe tomorrow and maybe the next day. But they're going to stay there till they get to fair. They can get everything coming to them.
And it don't hurt them to stay there?
No, it don't hurt them. First thing, you just put them in water, put them in a tub, and some water. That's when it clears up. You just wring them out of that water and put them in the pot.
Oh, just so they're in water.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
They won't mildew or anything like
they
that.
They won't mildew in the water.
I see.
But if you lay them out there, piled up there, you know, and it's hot like it is, ma'am. Oh, mildew.
Yeah.
You go down there. You have a pile of black clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess I'll go back over here and see what's going on.
I like your hat.
Thank you.
That's a nice hat, Miss Daisy. How'd you get that?
Thank you. Someone brought it from somewhere where they work at. You know, the white folks cleaning out and giving them a whole pass of stuff what they don't want. So they put this hat in there. And when I feed it, I got it.
That looks like a good
one. It is a good hat. So when I ain't wearing it, I got a little old closet there with whole sweaters and some things in it. I put it in there. If I leave it out, some of them see it and they'll pick it up and get it.
And just wear it around.
And tear it up. I'll leave it out there in the rain. rain on it or anything, but I put it where they won't get it. So when I get rid of it, I'll get it.
Well, you know, I have to have two or three of them old things because I leave them different places.
You leave them different places.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Liza. He used to come up to the house and sit out on the porch and talk and talk. Well, when she get ready to go, you know, she just up and going. She done laid her head over there somewhere and don't know where it's at. So, day or two, I said, well, Daisy, did I leave my old hat on? I said, yes, I picked it up and carried it in my house. Everywhere I go, I leave the darn thing. I'm going bareheaded. I said, that's because it goes bareheaded. And then you'd hear Liza's mouth. But I sure Mrs. Liza.
Oh, we all do.
Yes, sir. Mrs. Lott.
Well, you visit with Dora.
Dora Mitchell. You know the way I visit with her? When I'm going to work, when I go work and get to work, I come back by there and stop and see how she's getting along. You know, Mr. Miles has too many over there to... You can't visit nobody who has so many. Well, you know that's a yard full. All of George's children and sometime other children then, and these in and out, Dora's house, in and out.
Oh, really?
So I stopped and speak to him, chat with her a few minutes, and I was going home.
Was it too much coming and going? You can't.
Too much for me?
You can't talk.
That's right. You can't tell her. Can't say nothing.
She's got a mind on the children half the time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they sort of thinned out over there, Miss Daisy.
What? Thinned out? Mm-mm. It's more added. Now, that girl of George's, that's married, well, she was. Living in Gainesville. Well, they broke up there, so she come home. Well, that's three more children there. And them all.
They just
keeping
at it.
No, but somebody said that they was fixing to move up the state or something. I think her husband is already gone. So she's over there waiting, I think, until he get ready for her. That's what I hear somebody say. But one thing I do know, they there. All of them. And then one of his girls was been, oh, where she'd been going with me so long, I forgot her. So that's the way she's back there. You know, he already had. Two girls there and a boy that stayed there. Well, he had a boy that he was old. Well, he's back there.
Miss Daisy, that's more than I can count.
Have they all got children?
Hmm? No, ain't but one of them got children.
Oh.
Just one.
But they come back. Where did they all stay over there, Miss Daisy?
Uh-uh. I don't see. I don't know where they stay.
I wish you'd look in there sometime.
I just wonder to myself, how do all them sleep in that little house there? But they my business and I ain't asked them.
Well, let me tell you, I used to go around and talk to George and hide the children. But then, I don't know, we sort of, our ways parted,
mm-hmm.
and I never see them anymore. I go by then.
Mm-hmm.
One day, Miss George's wife,
mm-hmm.
she took a half dozen children And she was, I took her over there where I had something planted over there at Mr. Robert Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And they was working a while, and I had to go off somewhere. And when I come back, they had all left and hadn't done anything.
There was called Self Helping You?
Yeah. And I never did get the straight of that. I never tried to, really.
That's right.
So since then, I hadn't, you know, been in
contact. Bothered with them. Don't blame me.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know. When I left, it was clear I had to go off and get some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going off and playing checkers or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I haven't been in touch with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
they won't do the fool if they to treat you like that. Well, I don't think you do the fool.
Well, I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened. But we never did seem to be very chummy after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't guess. Well, I could stop there and talk to George. I could, but.
I've been,
as you say,
I've
done my business either.
No. Well, I guess I better go back over here.
Well, I hate to see you leave, Miss Daisy. I'll have to start tomorrow.
Well, I'll be back.
I'll have to start to work, and
you
going
to go to work?
I'm going to work around here.
Well, I'll run Miss Daisy home.
All right.
Okay.
We sure enjoyed the visit.
Well, that's a nice little tape. That's the end of Miss Daisy's, the tail end of Miss Daisy's visit on this Tuesday, her morning, Tuesday, the 11th of August, 1970. Tuesday, the 11th of August, 1970, Miss Daisy's visit. It was her time. It's her time to come. And it was nice talk under the calamity. Elizabeth, you see, had wrecked the car, and two boys were killed in it. 190, this is. Channel 1, right. Miss Daisy's visit, Tuesday, 11th of August, 1970. Now, this is Channel 1, right. 190, 95. Tuesday, the 18th of August, 1970. Tuesday morning, 18th of August, 1970. This is Miss Daisy's morning. We haven't checked in with her yet. It's 9 o'clock. This is Tuesday morning, 18th of August, 1970. Miss Daisy's morning. And I'm setting this up for Miss Daisy. We haven't checked in with her yet. Now, this is Channel 1 Right, 195 or 200. The setting it up for Miss Daisy this Tuesday morning, the 18th of August, 1970, Miss Daisy's morning. We haven't checked in with her yet. And this is Channel 1 Right, 195-200. I'm setting it up for Miss Daisy's visit this Tuesday morning, the 18th of August, 1970.
Place,
just waiting for you. Well, when you hear from the folks?
Oh, I hear from them every, you know, we hear from them every week or so.
Mm-hmm.
like I was afraid of. I should have got, I thought there was an extra bottle of that stuff. We drank so much of it. I should have gone on. But I guess we can have a
Well, she's feeling pretty good this morning.
Oh, she is. Says she's feeling pretty good.
Yes.
See, she's got a lot of wood out there.
May.
Oh, yes. Miss Bessie really got a pile of wood out there.
Oh, yeah. James brought it there. Well, he had somebody, the folks that trims the trees and things, they brought it there. They brought it to James, and he parked it over there at the Bessie's. You know, he used to put it over there to my house. And some of it just stayed there, and never did use it. So I asked him to move it over on his place. And get away from before my door. Because I didn't need it. And then he had plenty of room over there to his place to park it. Throw it out over there. So I see he carried this to Beth.
He thought you used more than you. You don't use much. So that
wood?
Might
well, yes, I use wood, but I have to buy. Well, it's no need of me having all that piled up there doing nothing but looking ugly. So I told him to carry to his house.
Well, now you don't use that kind of wood?
Oh, yes, I use that kind. But, Mr. Marl, I don't want it piled up there. Right in front of the door and some of it. Now, some of it he put there to my place. He ain't never used it. But it's on his place.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean that's his wood?
Ma'am.
That's his wood.
James' wood.
Not yours.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you see, in the winter, he'll haul that wood away from there.
Oh.
As he get orders for wood, well, then he'll load it up and pick it to whoever wants it. Yeah. If they don't never ask for it, well, it's just there.
Oh, I see. So you got an old ugly wood pile.
That's
there.
Right.
You know, I thought about that. If they racked it up,
mm-hmm.
It's not much more trouble.
No, sir. If they'll look. Put it in some kind of law and order, you know, fix it kind of decent. But just to throw that stuff out there and piles almost high up there, well, I like it.
Yeah. I imagine varmints could get into that, hide in that.
That's right. You see, have to buy my wood. Well, I'd have to buy that. Well, let them, when I buy it, bring it like I want it. I won't have to cut it and saw it and fool with it.
Oh. That's in big chunks. That's too big for you. Miss Bessie can use all sorts, can't she?
Miss Bessie can use the wood. Because she's home all the time.
Yeah.
And she has that fireplace.
Have that fireplace and have that fire going.
Yes, sir. That is sure a nice little fire to set by that she has.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. She has the nicest fire of anybody I know.
Mm-hmm. But I thought I ought to put that wood for the back, and it did, but you know it ain't my business. I don't think they ought to scatter it all around there like that. And I tell you why she is planning on a big birthday dinner. Pretty soon.
Fifth Sunday.
And she was planning having her table out there.
Yeah.
In the yard. Of course, some things I think she planned. Of course, I hope she can get it done. But it's so hard to get anybody to do anything for you.
Yeah.
Now, she wants to put the table out there in the yard, but she wants a
harbor
to put it on. Yeah. She wants palmetto fans to cover the harbor.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ma, you can't hardly get nobody to do nothing for you what you need to be done.
Yeah.
So, but I hope she can. I hope she can get it done. I can't do nothing by it. I sure can't help to fix it. If I could, I would, you know, just to make her happy. So I asked her the other day, I says, you got somebody to fix your hobby? She said, I ain't got nobody yet. But I think I will. I said, I hope so. I said, you know how hard it is to get anybody to do little things for you. Well, that's the big thing. She'll have to have poles, and then she got to have slats across them poles, and then the palmetto fans to go up there.
Yes, sir.
I tell you the truth. That's me thinking. I don't think she ought to go to all that trouble.
Yeah.
But she wants to do it. And I encourage you all I can. I don't say a thing against it.
Yeah.
But I just don't think, I ain't gonna do it. When I have a birthday, I just hate it. And thank God for another one. I'm going on about my business.
You're going about your business.
Going on about my business.
Yeah.
You know, it's all right to fix things for children or young folks or something. But when we get old, we done had ours. When we get old, especially. I think she told me she'd be 86. I think that's what she told me. So why worry yourself and already sick and ain't no good, no time. Well, why worry about all that stuff?
Yeah.
I don't see. Huh?
Yeah.
Anybody won't do it, they do it. They ain't gonna do it. I don't have much money.
Yeah.
Most money I have is when I get my check. Well, when I work, I don't work. I work Monday morning, Wednesday morning, Friday morning, and about all day Saturday sometime. You know there ain't much money there. I can't buy turkeys and hams and things and chickens and all that stuff to have no birthday party. Then I just don't want to fool with that stuff.
Yeah.
So when my birthday come, if somebody think about it, you write me a card or give me a pocket handkerchief or something, I'm thankful for
yeah.
that. but they ain't gonna get no dinner, not what Daisy picks.
Mm-mm. Is Bessie gonna fix her own birthday dinner?
Oh yeah, she don't want nobody to help her, Miss Myers. No, she don't want nobody to help her. She gonna do it herself.
Well, I thought some of the girls were gonna do it.
No, she don't want them to help her. She don't want no help. She's gonna do it herself. Well, I said this. If my children, if they wanna have me a birthday party, it's okay. But Daisy'll go there and enjoy it, but I'm not gonna spend my money like that. 'Cause you see, I need what little I get in a better place. It'll profit me more than a birthday dinner. But anybody that won't do it, so I was talking to my cousin's wife. They were down here the other week, and I was telling them about what Bessie was planning and everything. So JC's wife said, well, let her do it. She got money to do it with, and I think you ought to spend your money for what you want. I said, Beth ain't got no money. I said, Beth ain't worked in I don't know how many years. I said, Beth ain't got no money but her little donation she gets. She said, well, if she wanted to go like that, well, I think she's, I said, oh, yes. I ain't gonna tell her not to do it. I said, this, Daisy ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna do it. And I ain't gonna tell nobody don't do it that wants to do it. But, you know, if you know things, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Bessie is just like me. She ain't got nothing but what's given to her. She get her check and I think, well, I get my little check. But when I get my check, time I pay for my groceries and pay my light bill and pay other bills, the gas bills and other bills, oh, I ain't got nothing for no birthday party. This ain't neither. But she'll take that. Her children sends her some money sometime whenever they get ready.
They send her a little bit now and then?
Hmm? They send her a little money now and then.
Yeah. Miss Bessie has big ideas.
She do. Too big now. Now that's Daisy thinking that. When she could work and make money, it looked more like having these big ideas. But now you can't work. And your little money was donated to you. I think you ought to put it to good use where you could see. Now, I don't think that's useless to plan a big birthday party. Chickens is high, hams is high, turkeys is high, everything you buy is high. You got to pay for it. I think she told me this morning she had ordered her turkey. She said, and I think I got it cheap. I said, well, that's good. I said, that means money. She said, I didn't have to pay but $6 and something. But I said, what your ham cost you? She said, I didn't get a whole ham. I got a half a hand. I said, well, now, what your chickens call? said, well, I ain't got them yet. I haven't decided just how many I want. She said, you see, I'll have the turkey, and I'll have the chickens, and I got a half a ham. That's to help out if I run short.
She must be expecting a big crowd.
She is. She's hoping to have a big one. Now, his male chorus, they sing, you know. She wants them. She's going to get them if she can, if they don't have to go somewhere there. Well, I don't know just how many of them it is, but there's all men's, and they sing. There's a bunch of them. And she wants me. And old lady from Kirkwood, she known them for a long time. Well, this old lady's blind, she can't see. Well, somebody has to be with her, you know. But she wanted, she said she seen her daughter-in-law in Micanopy sometime or another, the woman that looks after. And she told her she wanted her to be sure and to bring her. Now, well, it's all right to have her, you know, and older folk. I'm going to rip up all these young men and all that. And they can eat, Miss Mama. Men folks can eat.
But and she has to have things other than just the meat. She has to have other things.
Than the meat?
Yeah.
I don't know what else she's going to have. But she was just telling me about the meat. But you know, she got to have some bread, she got to have some vegetables, she got to have cake and all that stuff, or pies or something. But she's going to do it herself. She told me. I asked her, I said, Bessie, you going to get Bessie to do some of your baking? And you know, Bessie, she's a good cook. Said, no. Say, I want her to bake me one cake. She said, but I'm going to bake my pies and bake some cakes myself. Well, that means more than one.
Do you think Beth is proud of how good a cook she is?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I think she is real proud of it. You know, reason I think that, the way she talks, you know, about it, how she cook and how she fix things, I think she's real proud of her cooking.
And she liked to do it.
She loved to do it, Mr. Ma. She loved to do it. And her stove, it ain't good. She told me she sat there by the stove. The stove's all right, but the door won't stay closed. But they have, she belongs to some of the clubs at the church. And they had her to bake the pies once. She told me she sat there to that dough and baked 7 pies. She sat there and hold that dough together and baked 7 pies. I said they wouldn't have had a pie to cut to put on the plate. Miss Marge, I couldn't have sat there that long. I like to work. I enjoy working, but I don't like just so much sitting still. And in the house, too.
Miss Daisy?
Mm-hmm.
That was a right jolly time you and Miss Mary had the other day.
What was that?
Miss Guthrie.
Miss Guthrie.
I say that right jolly time you all had.
We enjoyed. She stayed over to the house a long time.
Oh.
And told. You know, I didn't know she hadn't married again.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I think she told me she'd been married about 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who is this boy she married?
It was a boy staying there with him,
yeah,
and helped her with Mr. Guthrie.
Yeah.
And he had been there a long time. I've been there a time or two since he'd been there. But he seemed to be smart, but she told me he was working in Gainesville or working somewhere. Now, she says she's home all day by herself. I said, well, you ain't scared.
Is she not scared?
No, so she ain't scared.
Well, she's over there all by herself. Nobody close by.
Mm-mm. And I think she told me she don't have no chickens. She don't have no hog. She don't have no car. She don't have nothing to do but just sit there. I'm talking about she don't have nothing to work at.
Well, now, is she always work?
Yes, sir. She always work. I know years ago, yeah, part of the time, it started before her and him married. Somebody would buy magnolia leaves and repick leaves. They would have a man to go up the tree and saw the limbs off, saw them down where we could pick leaves off. And we had bags to put them in, but she picked leaves, me and her picked leaves. Right along together, of course, there's a bunch of us, you know, picking. That was before her and Mr. Guthrie married.
Oh.
She was staying up to the junction then with her aunt, but now I don't know where she come from when she come there. And I don't know why she come there. But she stayed there a good while. Rightly, she stayed there till her and Mr. Guthrie married. Her aunt, she didn't think of much about the matter. But you've seen folks, well, Liz on my side, they always like to meddle if they look like you're going to do well for yourself. They going to try to put something in the way. They're going to try to show you where you ought not to do that. You ain't got no business doing that. I wouldn't do that. Now, that's the same thing happened to Mary. Yet, her aunt wasn't as kind to her as she should have been. Well, Mary had sent up a note, and she said where she could do herself a little better, so she went on and married this old man. And, you know, I was glad she did. Of course, it was surprising to me to think that she would marry him. He was old. Oh, she was in her teens somewhere when she married this man.
Yeah.
But she married him, and they done well. He had his own home. When he married her, he carried her home. But she didn't have nobody to say, don't do this, and you can't do that, and I wouldn't do so-and-so. When Mary married Mr. Guthrie, she was her own boss.
Yeah. Now
she,
that's something, yeah.
Yeah, that meant much to her. And they wasn't too kind to her. Her folks wasn't. You see, I know a little something about them.
That meant weeks.
Weeks, max weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't know what her aunt was named. Nah, but that was Mac Weeks' wife, was Mary Guthrie's aunt.
Yeah.
So she stayed with him till he died.
Yeah. And he's 90 years old.
90? Was he?
Way up there.
I know he was old. He was old when Mary married.
Yeah.
But he was nice to her.
How and old was he when she married him?
When Mary married him? I don't know.
40 years old?
I don't say he was 40.
Was he?
I don't know how old he was. His head was white. Coarse. Age don't make you gray. You get gray before you get old.
Sometimes.
Now, Mr. Francis McCray over here, his head been white ever since I known him.
Yeah.
Been just as white as he is now, ever since I known him. So, I don't know. But I was glad when she married. You know, she'd come up to my house sometime, and she would talk to me and tell me about her affairs. That's the way I got into knowing and how she was getting along. So when she was thought she was gonna get married, she come up to the house. She said, "Daisy," I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm going to marry." I said, "You going to marry?" I said, "What you going to do with us?" She said, "I'm going to leave you here." I said, "Okay." I said, "Good luck to you." I said, "When you going to marry?" She said, "It won't be long." She says, "I feel like I'll get along better and I'll feel better if I marry." She said, "I ain't gonna marry a boy." Said, "This man I'm gonna marry, he's old." Said, "But I like him all right and I think we'll get along." I said, "Well, I hope so." I said, "Where he stay?" She said, "He's still over there to the other side of the River Speaks." Well, I got to thinking, and I know there wasn't no boys over there. I said, "Well, when you get married and go," I said, "come back to see me sometime." She said, "I will." She said, "I'll be coming back." I believe her aunt was named Nora.
Nora?
I believe.
I've heard her talk about Nora.
Well, I believe that's what her aunt was
she
named.
She said that she helped raise Nora's children.
She did. She did. She said, "Aunt Nora," she said, "Daisy, you don't know how mean she is." I said, "She mean to you?" She said, "Yes. She's just as mean as she can be." She says she don't want me to do nothing. She don't even want this man to come to her house to see me and talk with me no time. I said, why not? She said she just that mean. I said, well, how do y'all cope? She said, he come up there. Said he mostly stops at the gate. And we go riding, you know. Said, but I can't stay long. I got to thinking. I said, nah, you know, I thought this. Ms. Weeks, her aunt, she courted him and married him. Well, now, why are you trying to pick my husband? What you think I'm going to get? Well, but anyway, she was mean and she had to go through the rough. But she got old man Guth and she stayed with him till she died. And she lived. So from time to time, Ms. Weeks, she'd come up to my house and I'd go to her house lots of time to talk. So one day we was talking. She said, Mary married, but I don't appreciate her marriage. I said, but she do, don't she? She said, oh yeah, she do, but she don't know what she doing. I said, well, maybe she'll learn one day what she done. Just like that. She said, Daisy, that man she married is old enough, almost, for her granddad. I said, but still, he ain't too old for her. Well, you know, I'm just like that. If you 15 and you want to marry a man 60, you the one got to stay with him. I ain't. And if you can live with him, I ought to be able to live by. But one thing about it, she married and done well. He did, but she got a nice home over there.
Yes.
She got a place to stay.
Mm-hmm. She seems to be right jolly. She laughs a lot, you know, sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Has she always been like that?
Always been like that.
Yeah.
It just looked like she would be happy. Of course, she have come to me times after time. Her and Miss Weeks would. Well, Miss Weeks would be quarreling with her after some. She's come to be more than one time crying, telling me about what Miss Weeks said. To her, all this. I said, well, don't cry. I said, you get over it. She said, but I don't like to be treated like that. Said she asked me to come and stay with her, but I didn't know she's gonna treat me like she do. I said, well, you had to come to see. I said, just forget about it. I said, it'll all pass over. She stayed right there till she married Man Weeks. Crying some time and I reckon laughing a little bit. But she can laugh any time she wants or not.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Guffey, did you ever know him much?
Her husband?
Yeah.
Yes, I know him pretty good.
Well?
You know, I used to go over there sometime. After they married,
yeah.
I'd go over there to see Mary whenever I got a chance. Sometimes I'd stay over there half a day at a time.
Yeah.
Just me and her talking. But she was always so sweet. She you never see her look like she was mad. I ain't. She's always laughing, always got something to say. Like that.
Now that's while you was living up the junction. Now after you
moved
down.
I was living at the junction then.
Yeah. But now after you moved down here.
After I moved down here, the only time I'd see her, she'd be going to McIntosh or going to O'Keller or going, had business down this way. And she'd stop in and see me. She used to bring me, if she was coming down this way, she'd bring me fish. They used to kill cows. She'd bring me beef. First one thing and another, she had, when they killed hog, now she'd bring me a tub like that full of hog chitlins. I would have to clean them, but she'd bring them. And I didn't mind cleaning them because I loved them.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been nice to me. I think lots of Miss Mae.
How'd she travel?
Well, they had a old truck one time, I think.
Yeah.
And then they got a car. And she traveled. I see she was in a truck the other day. I don't know if she got in the car or not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice, big, pretty blue.
Mm-hmm.
Blue truck. I'd like to borrow it sometime, haul a little bit.
Well, you see, at that time, I was raising my children. And when she'd bring me things like that, that helped me to feed my children. I think about that.
Well, now, she used to have chickens a lot?
She used to have chickens. She'd bring me eggs. She had a yard full of chickens. Sometimes she'd bring me a dozen eggs, but I think she told me the other day she ain't got a chicken. She got a good fish pond, not far from her house, but she told me the other day she don't fish. I said, well, what you do to keep your company? She said, well, I have plenty to do at the house.
Yeah.
I don't fish.
She still got them old cows.
I think so.
Yeah. A lot of old cows. Now, when you lived up there at the junction, over there past the River Styx, that was a good long way.
What? What's that?
Going along that road from your house over towards her house.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't no fence there then.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't no fence there. Then I don't know whether the Richardsons bought all that or not. But I know somebody told me on the right going, they got a ranch there. They got cows in there.
Yeah.
I don't know who got the other side. The road.
It was a long way as it was from your house over to her house.
Over to her house, yes. A long ways over there.
And whenever you got over.
Whenever
that,
I got over there.
That River Styx.
That's right.
That was.
Well, you see, sometime the only way I could get over there,
yeah.
I'd get somebody to carry me. Over there to her house,
yeah.
And she'd mostly bring me back home.
So that was a good way.
But now Mr. Guthrie, he never did talk much. He didn't talk much. When ever I'd be over there and me and her be talking, he'd be out somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
He worked a lot.
Huh?
He worked a lot.
Around the house there. Mm-hmm. And looking at his cars and hopes and things. He'd be out doing something.
Oh, he'd be out on the place, wouldn't he?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
and
he was, I think he was a good man. I think he was a good man.
And
he didn't talk much, but yet, you know what I'm talking about? He didn't try to hinder her from nothing. She wanted to do whatever she wanted to do. She'd tell him. And he was always agree. He was all right.
He rode that horse right smart out over the place, I guess.
Who? Mr. Gutsy?
Yeah.
I think he would, and I think he went in his truck a lot of times.
Well, she said he loved to ride. He loved to go out on his horse. And then...
But she would help him whole lots, I think.
Oh, she went out
I
with him.
I think she would go with him whole lots.
Do you remember?
Last time I was over there, her and this boy she married, they was fixing the house. They was putting new boards in the ceiling, painting it, fixing the floor, and her friend, who and him. She was, well, Mr. Guthrie, he wasn't able to do nothing at that time.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to do it, and he didn't tell them how to do it. She was the boss. She had it fixed like she wanted it fixed. Yeah, this man, he'd be busy working. Me and her would sit out on the porch, just sit there somewhere where they wasn't working at, and talk. And she'd tell
yeah,
me.
he hadn't had this job long, just a few months, 6 months or so.
This boy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Ever since I've known him over there.
He'd be over there when I was there.
He'd always be there.
But
yeah.
She told me he was working. She told me he was doing something. I don't know what she said he was doing.